Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
I want to talk about a few crypto and a stock that I think could do well. And I want to talk about Ethereum. I want to talk about two things before we move on to Ethereum. And then we're going to move on to a stock that I think is going to do very well here in the future. And it's actually a stock that's flying under a lot of people's radar. And I think it could get 2, 3, 4, 5 time return in the next year or so. We're going to talk about a stock that I see a lot of potential in. And then we're going to move on. So I want to move on and I want to talk about two concepts. Some people may get mad at me saying this. Some people may say, you know, Mon don't know what he's talking about. Some of y'all younger millennials. But it's these two concepts of what's called a soft life and this quiet quitting, right? And I'm going to first address the quiet quitting. And it's two things I want to talk about. Now as a concept that's going around, a lot of millennials, a lot of Generation Zers, they are fed up with the way society is. They're fed up with how they're not being compensated fairly for their work. They're fed up with a lot of these things. So they've decided to only go to work and do the bare minimum. Which I would say I can understand how they feel. I've heard of the quiet quitting phenomenon where people go to work, they're not going to do anything extra, they're going to leave at 5 o'clock. And they think it's some form of rebellion or some form of revolution or some form of getting the employer back. Or I'm going to prove this to the employer or whatever. But I'm going to tell you two things, that you're not getting nobody back. The employer, if you show up, it's better for the employer, then you quit. Because if somebody quits, you got to replace somebody, you got to train them for the first 3 to 6 months, they're not really productive. For you to come to work every day and do the bare minimum, that don't hurt the employer none. Not a little, tiny bit. It may hurt the employer a little bit. It doesn't, but I'm saying, I understand what you're saying, but you're not hurting the employer, you're hurting yourself. And I'm going to tell you why. A lot of people may not agree with this. A lot of people may get angry. A lot of people may say Armando went crazy. But by going to work and doing the bare minimum. Now, you could do that for like 3, 4, 5 months, even a year. You do that for 10 years, your work ethic is gone. You don't know how to work no more. You don't know how to hustle. You don't even understand it because you've done it so long. Don't hurt yourself trying to stick it to the man. Don't hurt yourself at a job you hate. In a job where you're not using your talent, your skills, your imagination, your innovation to get somebody back. Just quit. Because if you quit, every time you quit a job, in most cases, and every single person will tell you this, everybody that's quit a job, and I'm telling you, you almost always get paid more at the next job. And everybody will tell you this. Every time I've quit, I've gotten a better job. That's how life is. Just quit. Put in your 2 weeks, get a better job. And I know people say, well, jobs are out there, whatever, but take a risk. Almost all the time, you will get a better job, but you get more money. Almost every time. And I know some people you don't. Some people say, well, sometimes you don't, but most times you do. And I'm telling you, think about your life. Every time you probably ended up better. When you stay in a job you hate, trying to stick it to the man and show him you're not going to work, you're not hurting him because he don't care. You're a cog in a million cogs, and as long as you show up, the company's okay. The company don't care because by you quitting, that hurts the company way more because now they got to put all this money into hiring somebody new, training them, finding somebody. If you show up and do the bare minimum, that's good for me. It's not that much difference. It's okay. You're not sticking it to nobody. You're almost hurting yourself. And I encourage you guys, don't fall into this trend. The quiet quitting, the soft life, which people don't want to, I'm just going to not work for the rest of my life, not going to do anything. You hurt yourself indescribably by doing those things. It sounds attractive. It sounds like a good idea. It sounds like something that you want to do, but you don't, I'm telling you, man, that will hurt you deeper than you can imagine. And I encourage you guys to look away from that because society and the government and the rich, the wealthy, and the elite, they want you to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they're not pushing the narrative. I wouldn't be surprised if they're not paying for these ad placements and stuff to get you to give up. So you won't be competition for the man. You won't be competition for the rich, the elite, and the wealthy. They want to keep you down, complacent, feed you sugar, feed you cheap food, feed you cheap entertainment, feed you all this stuff to keep you out of the way. That's the whole point. And I encourage you, all you got to do is look up the history of Rome. That's exactly what Rome did. Keep you complacent, keep you out of the way, and they can get richer. And how being living one, convincing you to live a soft life, convincing you to quiet quit. That's almost a way to keep you out of the way, a rich man's way. Keep you unambitious. Take away any kind of ambition at all that you have and keep you complacent. While the rich man continues to build his wealth, and while the rich man continues to build his power, while the rich man continues to build his influence and make sure his family and his generation is secure. Like, for example, let's give him a little bit of money. Let you just go live a soft life. Keep you out of my way. I can make 100, 200, 300, 500, 1,000 times what you make while you on there thinking you're getting over on the man. You're not getting over on nobody. They're putting you into that situation on purpose. That's part of the society. Remember, if you guys remember, this is the last thing I'm going to talk about. Then we're going to move on to Ethereum. Then we're going to move on to a stock that I think is very undervalued. It's maybe a 300-500% return in a year. So if you watch The Matrix, I love The Matrix movies, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have watched it. The whole concept of the three Matrix movies, out of the fourth one was garbage, but the first three was as Neo went through his journey. In the first movie, he thought he was breaking a system. He thought he was freeing minds. He thought he was going against the man. In the second movie, more stuff gotten revealed. At the end of the second movie, they told him, you're not doing anything. We program the Matrix so that certain people feel like they have the free choice to get out. We still got control. We programmed it so that you think you got control. So that we programmed the concept of the one. So people could follow this dude, get out of our way. The people who don't want to be part of the Matrix, they go live in that, I forget where they lived at. Live there, live a hard life, whatever, and stay out of the machines, the people in control's way, and let them continue to build forward. All that was a construct. Even the people who thought that they were breaking the system was actually part of the system. And that's what all this soft life and quiet quitting is. That's an exact analogy of what it is. We got the people in this system. Well, let's create a little subsystem so that these people who feel like they're doing something go off to another system so they feel like they have the option of free choice. They feel like that they're rebelling against the system. But in reality, they're just part of a subsystem. They're in reality, these people who are quiet quitting, these people who are wanting to live a soft life, they're in Zion. And Zion is a part of the system. The only way to go against the man is to beat him at his own game. You don't get out of the way. You beat him at his own game through a wealth building. Understanding what he knows, understanding how he builds wealth, and then beating him at his own game collectively or individually. That's how you beat him. You don't get out the way. So I want to talk about Ethereum. I'm getting a lot of pushback from telling people that I think that the price was going to go up after the merge. Now, in financial markets, this is the hardest thing for beginners to understand is that you can't predict prices down to the day. Now, you can when you do technical analysis. And it's still hard even then to do it like that. But when we're basing, technical analysis is a whole different thing. You can predict prices based on technical analysis. But when you're predicting based on some macro factor, technical factor, you don't know how the market's going to react. You don't know how long it takes the market to react. You don't know when it's going to react, right? But you can understand the technology enough to understand there has to be a reaction at some point. Now, you can't pin it down to the day. But you know that there's going to be some kind of reaction. I'll give you a good example. Is every 4 years, there's a Bitcoin halving, right? And it's almost predictable down to the day. But And for those you don't know, every 4 years, every 10 minutes, about 6.25 Bitcoins are created and they come into the market, right? So it's like a flow of Bitcoins, like a faucet, right? That's how Bitcoins come into the market. So every 4 years, they cut that supply in half. So the faucet gets cut in half every 4 years. So the supply of Bitcoin gets cut every 4 years. Now, if you understand high school supply and demand basics, you'll understand that will cause the price to go up. The supply goes down, demand remains the same, the price goes up. But if you look at the Bitcoin charts, that reaction is delayed for up to 6 months after they cut the supply. And it's because what happens is that when we're in a new market, like cryptocurrency, when we're in a new markets, new industries, new technologies, a lot of the big money, a lot of the big players, they sit back and watch because they don't understand the risk yet. They don't understand what's going on because it's an immature market. Sometimes the things that you predict are delayed. I remember when I said Bitcoin was $3,000, I said the halving is coming, Bitcoin was going to 100,000. Now I missed it for about 20-30%. But a lot of people, when the halving happened in May of 2020, a lot of people said I was crazy, didn't know what I was talking about. Over the next 7-8 months, Bitcoin went up 23 times because of the halving. Now, this is what we're talking about here, is that we don't know when these things are going to happen. That's why you got to practice risk management and have, you know, use money that you can afford to lose. It could take 6 months, a year, to, we don't know exactly when, but I could tell you with almost 100% certainty that it's going to happen eventually. I can't tell you it's going to happen tomorrow, next week. I don't know, because the market is so immature and inefficient. I don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to be reflected in the charts or in the price. But with enough time, this Ethereum merge will cause some big price, you know, increases. The only thing we could do is that's why the concepts of averaging in is so important, because you don't know when the price is going to be the lowest. You don't know when the price is going to be the highest. So because of that, you have to average in, average out, buy a little bit at a time. You know, that's the reason why we do these risk management type activities, because we don't know when the price is going to be at the bottom or the top, especially in crypto. Right? Because crypto, like I said, is an immature market. We're using our best guess, educated guesses, to buy in at some point when the market's down and try to get out at some point when the market's hot. Right? And that's the way you have to look at it. You can't try to get in at the exact bottom and get out at the exact top. That almost never works long term, especially in crypto. I want to talk about a stock that I think is going to do extremely well here in the next few months. Now, some of you guys may remember, it was the end of 2021, I think. End of 2021, we made a ridiculous amount on this stock. Around Christmas time, 2020, Christmas time, there was a stock we predicted would do extremely well around Christmas. We ended up making, 30-20 times our money. And then the stock dropped right after, and, you know, right after the new year, right at the end of December, and we all sold. But at the time, the stock was at like 180. It was another stock. It was right after the Rod Mara play. So the Rod Mara play was like in November of 2020, I believe. And this was like a play we did in December of 2020. Right, we made a bunch of money. A lot of people made 10, 20, 30 times their money on this one. Some people made, Mara and Riot Play made like 50, 60 times their money. Some people just changed their lives completely. It's people that still come up to me to this day saying that play changed their life. I'm talking about people made hundreds of thousands on that play. People changed their lives. Some people became millionaires. So it was a good play in 2000. Some people put in like $2,000-$3,000 and made a ridiculous amount of money. I'll go ahead and say it was Peloton, right? It was a Peloton play that we were able to predict where Peloton was going to be based on the Christmas demand, right? But actually, that one should have been a lot higher. That price should have been a lot higher, right? But what happened with Peloton is that they had extremely high demand for their products around that Christmas time. The thing about that play which made me so mad is that in the CNC, in my mentorship, and we had a round table, we all came up with the idea that Peloton was going to do well because of Christmas, because there was so much positive branding over that year, and everything would go good. And I assumed that the people with Peloton would figure out a way to meet the customer demand. There was two reasons why. So one thing was that the kid got killed, right? The second thing was that there was so many demands for Peloton, for Peloton products. There was a lot of demand for Peloton products, but Peloton couldn't meet the demand. So Peloton couldn't meet the demand, right, of the products. So, and then people started asking for refunds, and their stock went down because that kid got killed. And then, you know, and we were able to sell and we still made a lot of money. But like some people made $42,000, $10,000, $30,000. They had to give all those refunds back. And then the stock, after that, the stock crashed all the way down. But what I thought would happen, I thought that a competent leadership would figure out a way to get those Peloton products built. I would say 60% of y'all out there, if whatever product you sell in, if I give you $1 million and say, I want $1 million of your products or whatever, $1 million of your products, you figure out a way to get it done. Regardless of the supply line, regardless, you figure out a way. Most people could. But Peloton had so much internal problems. Peloton had so many issues. They had so many incompetent leaders that they couldn't get the bikes built and had to refund like 60% of people. Stock fell, and it's been falling ever since. Now it's at $9. It was at 180, now it's at 9. Now, the positive thing is that the last week, all the Peloton founders have stepped aside completely. So that caused the stock to go down to $9, roughly $9.74 a share, which is at a 52-week low right now. So now, that being said, I still think Peloton could do extremely well from now. Like I said, $9.75. It's super cheap right now. It's severely undervalued. It should be around $20, $30 based on where it's at, how many Pelotons exist, their fundamentals on the stock. It should be around $20, $30 a share right now. It's completely undervalued. Now, I think what I want to do over the next, now I'm not saying it's going to be, you got to remember, we're in a bear market. A lot of these plays aren't going to play out for months. We could buy Peloton and it could continue to go down. You got to understand that too. I could buy it at $9.74, which it is today, and it could go down to $6, $7. I can't panic. I just buy more and average in. Because eventually, with enough time, a year, maybe a year and a half, we're going to be at $20, $30, $40 a share. They just announced that new Rower 2. They're announcing new products. I believe that Peloton is severely undervalued, and I'm going to start accumulating Peloton stock over the next month or 2 months. I don't know when the bear market ceases. So the only thing I think could bring us out of a bear market, if we switch presidents, because that'd give people, I'm not saying our president is bad. I don't want to get into politics, but I'm saying that anytime you switch presidents, people have a lot of optimism. So sometimes that's like a boost to the stock market. So that could help. Or otherwise, it may be like two, three years before we're like actually out of it. I mean, we'll be out of it. Recession only lasts 18 months, but that's the bottom. So when we start coming out, to get back to where we were may take 2, 3 years from the beginning of the recession. Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram. And also on YouTube, it's the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.